You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello. I don't know what I'm doing here. Sean just messages and is just like, hey, I'm taking tonight off. Can you do the post-SmackDown show? Jeff Hawkins is going to be your co-host. Don't be miserable this time. And I said, all right, I'll try, Sean. Thanks for giving me some heads up. I appreciate that. Jeff, how are you?
He gave you the miserable note. Look, there are some receipts to be paid here. First of all, I came to the party to get naughty. Rest in peace, Shock G of Digital Underground. Look, this is a man right here.
Oh my God, that Sean scared Ross Sapp. Me.
He is going to a toy store to fight an 8-year-old over a doll, is what he's doing. He's not visiting friends. Someone sassed him on Twitter, and he's on his way to a toy store to smack around an 8-year-old for a rare Kurt Hawkins figure somewhere.
He doesn't have any friends. What friends does he have to visit? Friends. Come on now.
Does a man like that have friends, or does he just have convenient people? I mean, the trail of dead of Fightful is long and
nonsense to think this man actually has friends. Get out of here. We're here to talk about SmackDown, and we have the super chats rolling. Guys, send your super chats in. Get your question, comment, statement read on air. It's very helpful to us. It helps pay me. Helps pay Jeff, I hope. I hope you're getting something from this. Don't do this for free.
I do.
you're way too good. Because I used to do this for free.
Because I used to get it weekly, and I was like, yes, you have to pay me for my weekly thing, but the guest star stuff, I'm like, give it to the people who need it. I got a job. I'm good. I basically say give my money to the other hosts. So we're good.
All right, then get your super chats in to pay me then, if Jeff isn't getting anything out of this. I don't see any money from the super chats. Go to twitch.tv.
I'm getting the love and affection of the fans of Fightful.
Go to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming and get, you know, subscribe and send bits. That all goes directly to me. No one else. Jeff is going to tell his bad dating story at the end of this show to set up the bad dating stories we have on Twitch at 11:30 tonight.
I am so here for that. We may be overselling this. It was a bad date, no doubt, but it wasn't like epically.
That's fine.
Actually, you know, the first time I asked out a girl, she because Tina Fey took this story, she moved to Africa 2 days later because her family were missionaries.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm looking forward to your story. I'm looking forward to these stories that we have later on tonight. I've been DM'd some stuff and some people got some crazy stories. I've got one of my own that I will save. Ricardo Holt says, for the big effing star, that is for you, Jeff Hawkins. It's not for me. Cardo Holt also says, only caught the end. Is Daniel Bryan leaving ASAP? A lot of Daniel Bryan super chats. So we're gonna kind of start off with this. Anthony Velasquez says, with all the rumors going around concerning Daniel Bryan, is it a coincidence that next week's stakes involve Bryan at least leaving SmackDown? What's next for Bryan? Rob Reed says, I thought tonight was overall a pretty good show, just a couple of annoying things. I can see why they might move Bryan to Raw, gives them some new feuds, or at least the ones that haven't been done in a while. So let's start where they ended. Daniel Bryan was championing for Cesaro all night long, and then at the end of it, Roman's like, I don't like you. You piss me off. You can have this title shot, but it's the last one, and if you lose, you're out of here. You're done with SmackDown. A lot of talk after Mania. Bryan did an interview with BT Sport and basically said he felt disconnected from the match. Everyone knows his contract's coming up in the fall. He's talked a lot over the past few months of like, this is my last run as a full-time guy. I want to be a dad. I can be part-time, work something out. What do we make of this final segment and where Daniel Bryan's going?
I was almost mad at this final segment originally because I'm just like, okay, we're building Cesaro here as the star. We're building, like, last week, I thought that was it. Now we got Daniel Bryan involved and we got a tag match. And then that last segment came and I went, you know, at first I was like, and then I was like, oh, that's interesting. As for Daniel Bryan, this is the leverage he has. So he uses it to his full extent. This is what he does. He did this last time around contract time. I think he eventually re-signs with the WWE because, of course, Brie has some business dealings with the WWE and happy wife, happy life. I think going to a different show would be very interesting. I think, look, Raw is, of course, on the table. I think the interesting choice here would be NXT to give them a boost on their new night. And I think Daniel Bryan would love it. I think they'd give him a lot of free reign to do what he wanted there. But, you know, who knows? Basically, right now, this is being used as quote-unquote story to sow division between Cesaro and Daniel Bryan and what have you, just much like they did with Edge.
Can Bryan and Cesaro coexist?
You know, if Cesaro cost Daniel Bryan the title, I'll laugh. because I just go, oh, of course that's what they did. Womp womp. But yeah, it was a nice... It was a surprising bait and switch. It was a interesting bait and switch, and we'll see what they do. There's a lot of fun things they can do, and remember, they didn't do a lot of the fun things they could have done with Punk when he said he was going to leave the Fed with the belt. So, I, you know, you could have Daniel Bryan show up on either of the other two shows, maybe 205. I wouldn't do that, though. God, are you dumb? But yeah, it makes it interesting. I'd love to see kind of vagabond Daniel Bryan going from show to show, trying to find himself after having to leave SmackDown. It's, you know, there's interesting choices you could make. It just, we don't know if they're gonna make them.
Bryan has talked in a lot of these interviews about different guys he wants to wrestle, and he said guys like Finn Balor, Kyle O'Reilly, Walter, Pete Dunne, like guys from NXT, guys from NXT UK, and he's mentioned Raw guys as well that he hasn't been able to wrestle or hasn't wrestled in a long time. It would make sense if he's Lou, because they said off of SmackDown, right? So that gives you the out of he can go elsewhere. I think Bryan wants a nice little run here before he does kind of wrap up a full-time gig.
I am here for NXT UK Daniel Bryan. NXT UK is a sneaky good little one-hour wrestling show that does its basics fairly well. I am here for Walter versus Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yes.
Every day and twice on Sunday. I'm here for some of the lower tier matches he could have in there with, you know, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, A Kid. You know, that's a sneaky good little move if they ever wanted to make that. It's a little too beneath Daniel Bryan's status, don't get me wrong, but you know, in the NXT universe, quote unquote, with the different territories, I would love an NXT Daniel Bryan run. I think actually the fans would love that too, because it's one of those things where, you know, there's main roster malaise in terms of how they do storytelling. And while it's not exactly perfect down in NXT, especially now with 2 hours, and especially with you know, just some of the some of the more sports entertainment-y things that they've done of late. But at its heart, at the top of the card, they do like having the strong wrestling programs. And if people come back and at that first takeover, you have Daniel Bryan on it, that thing sells out instantly.
If you're just doing Daniel Bryan dream matches, just like let him go on a run. I don't know how much he cares.
But Daniel Bryan from Balor, which has happened, but hey, in an NXT ring, as opposed to the wondrous storytelling of the main roster, you know, Walter, Tommaso Ciampa, any of the Undisputed Era, Kushida. There's a good one.
Says Kushida. Let Daniel Bryan just have these matches that he wants to do. Stellar Justin Lopez says, is Daniel Bryan still on creative? I think he has some influence over of what he does. Yeah. He talked about it in the lead up of like, he said he just wanted to do great matches. And that's why he was wrestling like Gable and Gulak and all this stuff. And he's like, oh, is this the best use of me? Should I be maybe near the top of the card? And that's when he got put at the top of the card. And now I think he just wants to go out and just have great matches against guys. I don't think he cares about, I mean, he wants to tell a story, but you can tell a story of Daniel Bryan just on a hell of a great match run, going back to ROH indie days of, hey, let me prove that I'm just the absolute best in the world at what I do. And I mean, you do that with Bryan, you go anywhere you need to go. Ricardo Holt says, it is sad that I trust WWE 100% to screw everything interesting about Daniel Bryan.
I'm gonna address someone in the chat. Yes, I am aware UE is done. I'm just saying any member of that crew, if they wanted to wrestle Daniel Bryan, would be great, not as a stable.
Yeah.
Yes.
How is that? Come on, guys. Product. Come on.
Sorry.
What are we doing? That
one kind of got. And for an earlier chat question, real quick, Mark Carano was the big name that got fired due to the trash bag thing.
Yes, we will talk about that probably the end of the show. We'll get into Carano and all that. So you guys, if you have opinions on Carano being fired and Mickey James and the trash bag gate, Hefty Gate, I believe is what they're calling it.
Because it came out with the ad the same day.
Yeah, what timing? What timing that was? You know, that one was tough. People are like, Daniel Bryan versus Adam Cole's already. Who cares if it already happened? You guys don't want to see it again? What's wrong with you guys? You're not wrestling fans. You're not Daniel Bryan fans.
As a person who went to PWG shows, yes, I want to see all those rematches in a bigger stage with a bigger arena. Are you kidding me?
Already happened. So what? Still want to see these matches with Daniel Bryan. Come on,
man,
guys.
Man, Walter Ciampa's happened already. I don't want to see that ever again. Sorry to bury the chat, but sometimes.
I always bury the chat. They love it, I think. I don't know. They love it on our show. I don't know about this show. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they love it on our show. And we're over with what we're doing, so maybe it'll work here. the show did start with a very long tag team match, preceded by a promo of, you know, Cesaro gets interrupted, Seth Rollins interrupts him, Jey Uso comes out, Bryan comes out, Roman comes out. I did like Roman. You guys are losers. You guys are main event losers.
Main event losers. Yeah, I gotta admit that. You're losers. I mean, look, you're main event losers, but you're still losers. That is a backhanded compliments are still compliments, but still, that was phenomenal.
Roman is fantastic, absolutely fantastic. It all sets up a tag team match that is won by Bryan and Cesaro against Rollins and Jey Uso. What do you think of this match?
It was a fun little three-segment match. I enjoyed it. But again, in the back of my head, I was like, I thought they were building Cesaro this whole time, and then it made sense in the last thing, but just watching it, you're kind of going, oh, okay. Seth Rollins, his mustache twirling stuff is a little... for me at this time, but
what are we talking? Come on, Jeff, you gotta embrace the vision. Embrace the vision, Jeff. Come on, I see you, Jeff. Embrace it.
Let me quid pro quo you. What did you think of McAfee's second week?
Oh, I thought it was good. I liked him last week though, so yeah. I didn't think he was bad last week. I know he said he stunk, but. I thought he was good last week. I thought he was good this week.
Yeah, you can tell some of the notes he's getting, though. That's what's worrying me just a little bit. Like the disdain thing, where it's like, he hates that guy. Well, I would say more he disdains him. No, hate is good. Leave that in there. Don't let people hate each other in wrestling. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
That was a little frustrating, but, you know, and he has to stop mumbling under his breath. He'll push a joke out there, and then it's that kind of thing needs to stop a little bit. But yeah, no, I like his energy, but then again, I like Samoa Joe's energy too. So
I think he'll continue to get better, and then, you know, if hopefully Vince doesn't produce him too much.
Yeah, the match itself noticeably long. Went a long time. It was one of those things where I'm like, huh, this is almost pay-per-view level length right here. But I think Jey Uso needs those kinds of matches to help rebuild credibility, because he's always seen as kind of Roman's red shirt to get sent out there before the actual match. So it's good to give him some offense in there. Now there's a possibility we get a Jey Uso Seth Rollins match out of this. I wouldn't mind that either.
Rollins did walk out. Like, Jey definitely needs some credibility. A long match is good. He still lost. Like, this man is just eating pinfalls all over the place. And, like, at some point, like, it'd be main event Jey Uso. He needs to pick up some victories here. Cesaro swings Jey Uso about 300 times as Bryan just begs and you know, goads on Roman Reigns to come out here. Doesn't happen. I thought maybe Jimmy was going to come out. Like, I was feeling bad for Jey. I was like, I know he's the whipping boy and everything, but man, can nobody save Jey? Where's Naomi? Somebody help him out.
Yeah, that's weird. Part of me really wanted Seth Rollins to join that whole faction.
Oh, Roman and Heyman? Oh. Yeah. But see, they're not part of the Vision. Seth is his own Vision.
Well, you know, Seth's Vision has kind of taken a couple of back steps, so you kind of need a benefactor to get it back going again. And if Cameron Grimes isn't going to pay for it, you might as well. You might as well, you know, get the big dog involved. You know, I like those factions with like different temperaments and characters within them. That kind of makes it. I just thought I thought they were kind of heading towards that, but you know. Seth as Bad News Brown walking out on like Bret Hart and stuff like that is fine.
I can get behind. I've booked this whole thing in my head now. I can get behind like Seth, like using Roman and Heyman of like, see, they get it. They embrace the Vision, and Roman just being completely dismissive of it. Just being, what? Like not even caring about it. And then it leads to a big Seth babyface turn, because he's fantastic, especially in the ring as a babyface. I mean, he still wrestles like a babyface. So.
He should have been a babyface when he came back. He's totally miscasted this role. And he's,
No. The Vision.
The father has come back after taking out your hottest female superstar. He's here as family man to do. Yeah.
He fathered the whole brand. That's what he's the father of. Exactly. He fathered this whole brand. So now he looks down on them. They got to look up to him, and they ain't respected him. So he's a heel.
I agree. Bring out the kid with a shirt that says the boy, and then it'll be great. Or is it the boy or a girl that he had? I think it's a boy. Oh, it's Rue. It's a girl.
It's Rue. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rue. Name statement at the gravy. Yeah.
Rob Reed does have a super chat about the Pat McAfee. He says, am I the only one who heard a female voice feeding a couple of lines to McAfee tonight? I swear I hear a woman say one of his lines just before he did at one point.
Yes.
Okay. There you go. All right. So we get that. We have the post-match stuff. Nia Jax, Reginald Beck, Tamina. You know, it's a WrestleMania rematch. Nia Jax against Tamina. Distraction, roll up, there's your finish. Anything?
Yeah, I got a few things on this. You know, because it's weird. My partner on Shake Them Ropes, Chris, has the best name for Reggie. He calls him Reggie Bechdel, as in Bechdel test. Whereas Bechdel test is a term in Hollywood where for poor... For people who can't write women, any two women who are in a scene together will always talk about a man that they are dating or whatever, if it comes to it. I see no value in the Tamina Natty team. They are great veteran performers. I just don't see why we're investing in them post WrestleMania right now. I give some love to Tamina because nobody else ever will. She is one of the most underrated comedians on the roster in terms of her reactions and things like that. I adore watching someone say something ridiculous and she's just staring at the camera with just this death stare. The match itself, look, if they didn't do distraction finishes so much, three times a show, these things would be effective. But they're dumb. I want to buy Adderall for the entire roster so they can focus these highly trained athletes because music distracts them, people distract them. They can't concentrate on their actual job function from day to day because people are going, no, this is stupid. What is the investment in Reggie going to do, really? Nothing. It's a terrible story, and Shayna always looks the worst for it. And she's the one with the most skill out of all these four, in my opinion.
They were building up Nia. Like, Nia had pinned Sasha. She pinned Asuka. Like, she was winning these matches, and then they're just going to beat her with a distraction role. They love our show.
Heyman got demoted from creative. That's we all know what happened here. He loved her. They debuted her as a vampire. I was kind of hoping her eye makeup would get more and more ridiculous because it was just getting raccoon-esque for a while there.
They're going straight Ronda Rousey with the eye makeup.
Shayna Baszler's story is that she doesn't know the rules of professional wrestling. I've told you this before. She's an MMA fighter who doesn't understand these weird and wacky rules of this professional wrestling profession. Look at the breakup going and have Shayna choke out Nia already. Let's do this.
I don't think Nia's going to hit her with the leg drop. Her and Reginald are going to have the Macho Man Liz moment, and that's gonna be that.
The problem also is that Natty and Tamina, out of all the teams in that gauntlet, are the least interesting to put the titles on. You put the titles on any of the newer teams, the Lana Naomis, the... I have a derogatory name for them, but I won't use it here. The Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke team, even the late great Billy Kay and Carmella, or the Riot Squad, which was supposed to be built up as an actual team in this division. You have different stories here and things. There's no story here between Natty and Tamina to fight Nia and.
Tamina and Nia is the story. WrestleMania.
Grizzled veterans.
This is the story. Rock Hogan, Andre Hogan, Rock Hogan. Austin. That's Tamina and Nia. First of all, they love Tamina and Natalya. Yes. They love them.
Yes, they love those stare downs. They love the they love two things, and they're both involved in this story. They love the bigger woman, smaller guy. Dynamic because they're doing that on NXT UK as well with Piper Niven and Jack Stars. They love that. They love look how humiliating it is, the small guy and the bigger woman. Ha ha ha. And they like the stare downs between tall women. Those are the two things in the women's division that they love.
They do. I appreciate that they plugged our show with the distraction finish. Thank you guys. Kevin Owens is backstage. He's getting his Intercontinental title shot. Big E is like, I think it should be my shot. Big E's just got to wait a week. Deal with it, Big E. It'll be all right. Intercontinental title match. Apollo Crews, Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn came out on commentary. We got another distraction roll-up finishes.
But Commander Aziz debuted his finishing move.
Who could possibly care? Who could care?
Well, I don't know if we have it on the other show because AJ and Omos haven't shown up since they won the tag team titles there, but we have the same story going on here with Apollo and Commander Aziz / Baba Tunde / Daba Kato / Yabba Dabba Doo / whatever they're going to call him next week probably because it's Commander Aziz. Although I will give, I like, he has that WWE big expression type thing because then puts the thumb in the guy's throat and whatever.
He ripped the guy's dick off. He ripped the guy's dick off on Raw Underground.
He should be wearing it as a necklace. You see this? This is a man's penis. He just... yeah, I mean, it's so weird that they're the he's the guy who's going to be taken care of when Big E really needs... Big E needs some help. He came off as a total jerk here with Kevin Owens, who is already a bit of a jerk babyface because that's his character, is he doesn't care. And that's why he's cool when people like him, Stone Cold Kevin Owens. You know, Sami Zayn is going to be there to dance, which... It's fine. You know, I liked the match. I like Apollo as champ. The Aziz thing, I think it was a little heavy for week two of him on here. I think you only needed the one segment. Let's keep it going. You didn't need the second segment with him backstage. Although now it establishes he's a crappy bodyguard.
Yeah, where was he?
We're already building the split. Week two, we've decided. This doesn't have any more legs, guys. We gotta split this act up right now.
Rabri says Commander Uzmanga, because of Commander Aziz's finisher there with the Samoan spike on there.
Spike. What other moves could he have had that we would just go, a heart punch? Maybe that.
Heart punch would be the claw. Claw is always a good one.
I wouldn't mind giving Anthony a go-go the heart punch, though. That would have been a little least interesting.
People would freak out over that one.
The Cobra Clutch. Whatever the atomic noogie, as they used to call it when Sergeant Slaughter did it that way.
Another distraction finish. Like,
yeah.
What are we doing? What are we doing with this stuff?
Distraction finishes are fine once every 3 weeks. We get four on every show.
Yes. Every week. That's how they book everything, because they think that, oh, this will protect the loser. Like, no, everybody just looks like a geek. Everybody looks stupid.
Everybody looks
I like focused. I like your Adderall idea. I think that this should be a character on the show. Like, he's just backstage. He's just backstage and he's just like passing out. Like, hey, you know. Seems like you're losing focus out there with these distraction finishes. Got some
that
stuff.
That gorilla, for you. Just here's the pills. It's just like the old days. Come on back. It's like the 90s, guys. Every pill available. Just an Adderall dispenser before you go out there. Just put your hand under it, take it, go out. I am so focused right now. You would not believe. Holy. And they all become like Otis on the Alpha Academy, just focused and ready to go and competent and. Smart baby faces who have friends and they make good plans. And oh, hey, three guys are coming out to the ring and for my one-on-one match. Maybe I should go out there alone. Takes the Adderall. Hey, no, I should go back and get some guys to help me. That'd be a great idea.
We've booked it. We've saved this distraction finish nonsense. We've done it.
Can you believe Sean Ross Sapp is missing all this greatness right now?
Biggie,
Adderall. That is a great. Yes.
There we go.
Part there of the Ugandan Navy out there. Commander Aziz. That's his supervisor. Admiral Adderall comes out.
We had Big E attack Apollo, as we said. Admiral Adderall is a terrible bodyguard. We had the rematch next week. Do you think we're doing a title change next week?
No, I think we're getting some sort of multi-person schmoz, like a ladder match or something.
Oh,
eventually.
Boy. Love those. They didn't have one at Mania this year, so like they got to do it at some point. So WrestleMania
the
Backlash.
The real question is, can Commander Aziz and Apollo coexist because they're both entered in it? Or Apollo's entered in it and Aziz climbs the ladder and gets it and hands it to him. Oh, but look at the look on his face as he hands him the title. Go ahead.
Aleister Black vignette airs. He's reading from a book. He's a dragon. That's all I got out of this. And,
is
and
he a
people
dragon
are
or is his dad a dragon? Does he want to be Ricky Steamboat? Is his gimmick like Sean O'Hare with daddy issues? Is it what? They're towing the line with the Satanism. I get this. I get that. It just. And somebody fell in love with that animation they did. I forgot what other vignette there was with this same illustrator, but they fell in love with it. You know, I like Aleister Black a lot. I thought his delivery was kind of a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Because I think they want to take the edge off the darkness, but still keep him a dark character, kind of like Bray Wyatt a little bit in the early days.
Yeah, it worked out real well for Bray.
Look, he has to prove he's entertaining on television, Jeremy. Yeah, but it feels very Sean O'Hare, if you remember that one, where he was basically kind of playing the devil or an agent of the devil. It feels, although I made a bad comparison. I said it was Sean O'Hare, and I thought it like meets, I want to say right to censor or something like that. It's one of those, I'm into the occult, but I'm also a moralist about weak people and stuff. It's like it's almost a James Mitchell type of character in a way.
Nerd Guru sends super chat for Alex to destroy this show. Sign up Fightful Select. Alex will have sour grapes. We're destroying it. Like, I like Aleister Black. I was listening to Aleister Black promos when he was, you know, Aleister Black, and he would raise up from the floor and everything. And he would explain this of like, my character comes from the other world, and he's raising up from a black abyss, a black hole, and he enters a portal into the world of wrestling. None of this is explained on television, by the way. These are the interviews he's doing with the media trying to explain what his character is. Look, and sometimes you just got to rein these guys in on stuff and be like, we don't need to go that far on some of this stuff. All right. I'm very scared of what this could be.
He needs a doll, pal. Get him a ventriloquist dummy named Rocco. Put it in there.
I'm very scared of what this is going to turn into. Cyclops Better Wolverine says, we stuck in that room for a year again.
Probably. Why isn't anybody knocking? Because you read from that book. That's why. No, it's not story time. Go to the library for that crap.
This is how you get Scarlet and Karrion Kross on the main roster. He opens the book one week and the fireball shoots him in the face, and Karrion Kross is just magically there. There we
fall,
go.
Fall, pray, pray, pray. Yeah, sure. It's just...
They gotta have this one like supernatural spooky character on every show, and it's like, why? Why do you have to do this?
Yeah, it's like, does magic work in wrestling? Yeah, and if it's so, why not just do basic magic? You know, sawing a woman in half, rabbit out of the hat. You know, like what is it? The USWA guy did that crappy gimmick for a couple weeks. Back in the 90s, I'm old. I remember these things. I remember they tried a magician. They tried a magician in the WWE when they're doing all those when they're doing all the weird jobs. Like they had the goon. They had
No disrespect to the goon. We're not slandering BCW legend
Irwin.
The goon.
I love Bill Irwin. Don't. We want to talk about Bill Irwin for the next half hour instead of SmackDown. Yeah. We can lose everybody. We can just wreck this with the Irwin brothers in world class because Jurassic Hawkins is here. Yeah, this thing, put on the glasses to make him look smart. Okay. I like the look. I like the thing. It's just, my dad was a dragon and he took me in the woods to find the Slender Man or something. It's just like, okay, you kind of want to go on this journey, but I'm also deathly afraid that Dragon Lady from NXT is gonna show up, and like she's gonna be the connective tissue amongst all this. Karen Q, and what, I forget the name that they gave her on NXT.
Tian Shaw.
You know what?
Tian Shaw, right?
Tian Shaw. Thank you. And yes, and we're gonna have Xia Li come out. It's like, okay, I can. Although that'd be kind of cool. I gotta be honest with that. Maybe Slapjack's the dragon since he's on this thing now.
They're not doing any of this, man. They saw The Undertaker. They're like, this character worked for 30 years. Like, we ought to be able to hit on one of these characters, right? One of these characters has to work.
Let's workshop this on air. I'm sorry, I'm rambling and going all over the place for the chat, but I don't care. We're just having fun and being loosey-goosey tonight.
Yeah, we're having fun, Moggle. Street Profits are interrupt Ziggler and Rude. And then they won a title match because, of course, and then Bayley comes in. Bayley's ready to talk junk about Bianca. Bianca's not there. Montez calls her up. Bianca just shows up. She's there after the break. Billy plays nice and was like, you know, you are the EST. You proved yourself. Good on you, kid. And then she leaves and she walks back. She starts laughing. We're getting Bianca and Bayley at WrestleMania Backlash.
I'm here for the match.
Yes.
The promo. First of all, shout out to Dolph Ziggler for the Animal House reference. Get that 50 demographic going on the references. Love Animal House. Come on. One of the more overused tropes, especially they do this with the women's division a lot, is the disingenuous promo where it's like, I'm going to give this heart. Ha ha, just kidding. It doesn't work. It doesn't work ever. She should have said, hey, congrats, kid, but you suck. I mean, that would have been shorter than the beat where you go, was she serious about that? I would have much rather, as a heel, she mind screws her with the serious promo.
Yeah. Says,
no, you were great. And then just walks away. And then yes. We're all left going, what was that? What the heck was that? Okay. Now, Bayley, the mind game queen? I'm here for that. As opposed to Bayley, the Weasley talk show host? Okay. Yeah, it's... I like the point by, I think it was Daily DDT, want to give credit where due, where it's like, well, this shows that if they want to return her to a babyface, she can do the promo. It's like, yeah, but we know she's a good babyface. I mean, I want to see her be... There are levels of heeldom. I want to see her get past Honky Tonk Man kind of thing. You know, although she's a much better wrestler than Honky Tonk Man ever was. But this is them, and I know they like her in the company because of, you know, post-heel turn, because of her... you know, you can fit her in anywhere and she'll make the program great. They love her for that. The talk show host thing, though, to me is always kind of death, because it's always, you know, it's that Vince McMahon dreamed of being Johnny Carson. I mean, as far back as Tuesday Night Titans and Bobby the Brain Heenan's talk show and everybody's talk show ever since. It's another overused trope, but, you know, just I want to see the more plotting heel, the mastermind heel, the heel that has their psychology down and is staring and is confident and is staring Bianca in the face and goes, I know I'm better than you. Good job, kid. See what you got now. That kind of thing. And I thought that kind of could have done it if she had just cut with the genuine promo and Bianca said, what? Because that was great too. The whole setup for this promo was great until she came, God like, oh, damn it. I love you, Aunt Pam, but that killed it for me.
Trey Knight says, I'm already hyped for Bianca and Bayley. Hashtag FTF. We're using the wrong hashtag on this show, Trey Knight.
It is a match that might steal the show, to be honest with you, and probably should steal the show because they are both great.
And Ryan Martin says, do you think Bianca gets a lengthy title reign? Seems as if they're positioning her as the face of the SmackDown Women's Division. Also, does Rhea retain at Backlash?
First title matches are, I mean, first title runs with Vince. If he has full faith in either of them to carry this division for years, it will be lengthy. If not, it's going to be that toe in the water thing. Then we're going to see the stories of, well, and after that, I doubted myself.
Good for her growth. Down.
Yeah, and then they'll take credit for the rebirth when it was in them all along. But, I mean, you saw this with a lot of guys who were Intercontinental champs and became world champ. You know, Jeff Hardy, Punk, Bryan's first title reign, even Bayley's first title reign when she was brought up. Charlotte, in some ways, you know, heck, Sasha never defended the title up until successfully until this last run. So I'm going to say it's going to be 50-50. I'm going to say he's going to pull the rug out from one of them. And I'm guessing it's probably, given his predilections, he's going to pull the rug out from Bianca earlier than Rhea.
See, I think it's going to be Rhea because you got Charlotte just waiting there. And we know the Charlotte love. Bianca, like they clearly like Bayley. I think you can have Bianca beat Bayley and it be okay.
I could see, you know what, if we're going to shuffle people around, though, I could see somebody else taking the title off of Bianca.
Well, she's facing Bayley at WrestleMania Backlash.
Bianca's not losing at WrestleMania. Or she's not losing the title. Distraction finish. maybe Sasha and Bayley get back together, which doesn't make any story sense.
Yes, well, who cares about that? Who cares about story sense when you can just create moments, you know? You can create the moment of Sasha and Bayley getting back together and helping each other. I need Bayley to get some wins in the next few weeks, though. Like, if you're just going to give her a title shot, give her some wins to build her up. Because last time I saw her do anything physical, she was getting beat up by the Bellas.
Nia, Tamina, Natty.
They got plenty of people she can beat. They got plenty of people she can beat.
6 weeks have her beat Riot Squad back and forth.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Nerd Guru says if Bianca has to lose, have it to be heel Becky. Becky ain't coming back as a heel.
Becky ain't coming back as a heel. Are you kidding me? That would be burning money. That'd be like Bayley's first run on the main roster. That's just burning money right there, just pushing her as a strong baby face.
Yeah, Becky not coming back as a heel.
Bring back Becky to lose to Alexa Bliss hitting with a kendo stick. Actually, you know what? That might be who Rhea ends up losing to.
I still think.
Go ahead.
I still think it's going to be Charlotte. Like, they just love Charlotte too much to put the title on her.
Yeah, but they got to pace themselves on this tying dad thing. So I could see them moving, like, Charlotte to SmackDown, and then, like, Alexa wins with, you know, the doll.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, I have Alexa, and it could set off. Oh, no.
Oh, and Alexa wants in this title picture, too.
Alexa, do you want a title shot?
What was the reply?
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Fair. We had Ray and Dominic against Alpha Academy for, I feel like, the millionth time this year.
No, it's a fresh matchup. What are you talking about?
Since February 19th. It is the fourth just two-on-two match between them. Doesn't count the eight-man tags they've been in. Doesn't count the fatal four-way stuff. It just, since February 19th, it's the fourth two-on-two match between these two teams.
What's the story we're telling with this, guys? That's all I want. Is Dominic learning something and getting better? Is Otis becoming more and more vicious to the point where Chad can't handle him? Give me something other than, here's four guys in a match and, oh, Rey Mysterio is a legend. Yeah,
that's the story. I've
never seen Rey Mysterio look better. Pat McAfee said that tonight. I'm like, dude, I think you're entertaining, but stay off the weed, Jack. I've never seen Rey Mysterio look better.
He's in great shape. I mean, maybe that's what he meant. Like, physically, he looks great. I'm trying to cover for my guy, Pat.
I stare at you cynically people right here.
Trying to cover for my guy, Pat, here.
I love Pat. Pat's one of my favorite guys on the stick. This was just a bridge too far. This is like me saying I'm a sex symbol. Ain't no way am I going to believe that.
Come on. You can be a sex symbol, Jeff Hawkins.
In certain countries, yes.
There you go. So, in certain countries, Ray's never looked better.
But they don't have taste where I'd be a sex symbol, so continue. I just have a good credit rating. Ladies, 800, I have an over 800 credit rating. Come get some.
Ray and Dominic win. They're building momentum or something. I don't know. Who cares?
No, because all four of these teams have beat each other and beat each other and beat each other. None of them have a real personality other than me. I like the Dirty Dogs, though. I love them as a team. I just wish they'd kind of give those more grizzled, hardened interviews. You know, where it's just like, you know,
they gotta
we've
be
been
jerky.
Around a long time. Yeah. Instead, they're doing movie quotes and stuff. And, you know, each of these teams has interesting components about them, and they never do anything with them. Like, what was the last piece of character development in the Street Profits other than, hey, did you know Montez is married to Bianca? That's it, man. They're the
they want the smoke. They want the smoke, Jeff.
People want to see the hits. So they're going to come out. Cups are going to fall. They're going to dance. Montez is going to get beat up for a while. Angelo's getting the hot tag. Big splash. Go home.
You know what I like about the Street Profits, Jeff Hawkins? They bring the swag like nobody can. They don't mean to brag about it, but they bring the swag. That's what I love about the Street Profits.
The cup again. That was at least an interesting choice. Throwing movies in the invisible cup.
The Adderall. We need the Adderall in the cup.
The Adderall. There you go. Yes. The Adderall in the cup. It's a great idea, Jeremy. This is why you're going to have the pencil someday.
I'm hanging a banner for being best booker on Thursday. Trust me.
Sorry.
George Barfield says $500 or 500. Man, can we get $500? Come on, George. Five? Add some extra zeros to this. $5 for Jeff Hawkins.
It's Albania. $5 will go a long way. Romania. Yeah, some part of the Czech Republic, maybe. I'm a damn dreamboat. I'm a Czech 10 compared to.
Ryan Martin says, based on that SmackDown, everybody. All right, we talked about the main event segment first. That's SmackDown. It happened. Next week, they're setting up some big stuff with the Intercontinental title and Reigns and Bryan. So next week, they're stacking that show.
Did you hear the temerity of them to say that they were proud of having the most women's matches ever at this WrestleMania? And not having our girl Aunt Pam on there because Becky wasn't ready yet. That's shameful. People should be ashamed of yourselves.
Ryan Martin says, based on some of the stories that have come out about Carano already, it seems like they made the right decision. Seems like they're cleaning house. So Mark Carano got fired yesterday. Mark Carano, he's known for being on Total Divas. And I think that's really all he's known for. And he got fired because Mickie James posted the trash bag photo, which is apparently not uncommon. Seems like they've been doing this for years. And Carano took the brunt of it yesterday, Jeff.
As a person who has witnessed firings in high-powered types of industries, I didn't take that much offense to it. I get that the optics were bad. The optics are terrible of putting your stuff in a trash bag.
Yes.
I worked in big law for a number of years. let's put it this way. Support staff is seen as overhead in big law. And there'd just be days, oh, by the way, half the accounting department's getting canned today. And what you do is they get marched to an office. They're told, take your keys and your wallet with you. Don't bring anything out. And your key card. Come to the office. You're not going to be able to come back to your desk. Somebody in the department is then in charge of putting all your stuff in a whatever document storage company you use. They have boxes all around. Ours was always Iron Mountain for those who work in large industries. So all your stuff is then packed in there. Not really bubble wrapped or taken care of if it's fragile or not. And then you hand it to the mailroom who puts it in a bigger box and they ship it to you. There are some things about this that really bother me. Number one, Mickie James should be the exception to the rule. She's a 20-year vet. She should be able to come in and pick up her stuff and say goodbye to the people that she's mentored all this time and who looked up to her. Also, some of these firings I find questionable. Like, they fired, let me get the exact titles here, so that the VP of Communications, the Manager of Publicity and Corporate Communications, the Chief Marketing and Communications Officers were all fired. All that is the McMahons going, we needed messaging on this, and you guys let this get out. What, you all are fired. We're really sorry this happened to you. Dude, look, I can accept if you say, hey, we are a company that doesn't exactly have a lot of packing supplies around, although they move around from week to week, so that's got unbelievable. But hey, if the trash bag is the most accessible thing you have, I understand that. On the other hand, you're firing your communications team because this got out. It's not like WWE has this long history of man, you've really, guys, we need to have a clap out for somebody who's leaving the industry right now. Oh yeah. Oh, your years of service here were so great, everybody. Give them a round. No. You know, a terse, we wish you the best in your future endeavors. You know, in Hollywood, they just throw your stuff away, which is kind of rude, to be honest with you. Screw that guy. But it's to me, it's the reaction that's always worse. It was just, you know, they're demoting John Cone. And, you know, to me, it's always, okay, find out who did this. This is not going to, I am shocked that these types of fires are going, you're winning, sir. You know, like Claude Rains in Casablanca. Of course this was going on. And of course everybody knew about it. The real crime is that this got out and that some talent, and especially the male-female dynamic of the whole thing, it makes it feel sexist because the optics are, you're telling me that a woman is trash. And I don't think that was intended. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to absolve WWE of this. I'm not going to say, oh, man, what a great supportive company they are with their employees when they fire them. Because they don't. It's very, you know, you get a cell phone call after being told that you're safe. You know, all these stories have come out about how they treat people and stuff like that. So we know what we're getting into. This is the life we chose, to quote Godfather 2. So... it's just that was the part that got me, was all these communications people getting the boot. I'm just like, yeah, somebody screwed up on messaging on this and the circle of trust was broken about how they fire people. But you got yourself in a trash bag? Yeah, I can see that. That's in character for this company, don't you think?
I, like you said, like in a lot of major businesses, that's pretty much how it happens. You gather your things. Usually it's a box. They could have just, you know.
If you're cutting football, because I tried playing college football, which is a stupid move on my part, ruining my GPA in my nerd school. You know, if the other players haven't raided your locker yet, you get a laundry bag, but that's not much better.
Yeah.
It's usually a giant plastic bag that's clear so they can inspect it to see that you're not stealing anything or you didn't bring your playbook. Or it's a trash bag, you know, it's a big bag to have around and they're cheap and, you know, you're not really worth much after you're cut. So, you know, get out. That's the one thing they want, is they want you out of the building as soon as possible. And everything else after that is a luxury. You're lucky to get your stuff back as long as it's not valuable. I mean, as long as it's valuable. I mean, yeah. So I wasn't, but that's my cynicism. I can, trust me, anybody upset by this, completely understand. Completely, it's yes, they are a heartless garbage organization at times. I get this, and you should be mad at times. Read about Hollywood. That's what they tell people, and it's like, because they treat people like that every day, so I'm used to it. So I'm, my skin is a little bit tougher about it.
The optics is definitely the thing that yes, wasn't good. And not even the male female thing. Like you
subject,
said, like
the subject is,
yeah, Mickey James, who's been there. I know she went away for a little bit, but respected veteran, helped a lot of people. Everyone loved her. Just try to be better. Try to be better at that stuff.
The other thing is, they don't treat her well. They never treated her well when she was there. I mean, anybody remember Piggy Mickey James?
Yes.
And they called her old on screen. And, and when they talk about the history, it's always Trish Lita, Trish Lita, Trish Lita. When Mickey James is out there killing it, man. She's the third wheel in the women's division. She should not be the third wheel, especially when she came back and had that magical match against Asuka at NXT TakeOver in Toronto. She is fantastic. She's going to make a great addition to probably NWA Power, I think. That's probably the most likely place. If not going back to Impact Wrestling, almost called it TNA. Apologies. But she still has stuff left in her, and of course this is a company that thinks it's a film company and thinks it's a Hollywood studio, so
it's about
40,
to be.
40 over the hill, gotta get out of there.
It's about to be, because you're right, they're just, they're releasing people who had titles. What did they actually do? I don't know. Like, John Cone just got his position back. Apparently Carano wasn't even, like, John Laurinaitis was doing most of his stuff anyway.
Cone had two jobs. He has the on-screen job and the behind-the-scenes job. Do you get the behind-the-scenes
job
back?
It's He apparently got that back. So
that's even more of a mind screw. Hey, sorry about firing you there. Want your job back real quick? We might have been a little bit too rash in our decision-making here. And that's going to put full faith and confidence in your employees. Oh, really?
I mean, Nick Khan's getting his people in there anyway. So this is just a good reason to be like, hey, what positions can we just kind of cut, make it look like we did something, so Nick can
get
his eyes in there.
Every vice president should be nervous, because those are the first to go, always.
Evan Wright says, paying to say Jeff's Twitter jokes suck. Hey, well, that's $2. Thanks, Evan.
You paid for them just now, you dumbass. How do you like that? I just made $2 more in comedy than you'll make in your entire lifetime.
Rob Reed says, I know this isn't technically part of SmackDown, but I love The Conjuring is now using the excuse I used to make whenever I was caught doing something I shouldn't as a kid as the new subtitle. I don't know what The Conjuring is. Is that a show?
Isn't it that kind of movie universe with like Annabelle and crap? The doll.
No idea.
I don't watch horror. I don't like horror.
I don't either.
So yeah. I don't know it. And
yes,
man, this is as harsh as I've ever been on a Fightful audience, and I worked for Fightful for a few years.
Guys, at 11:30, we'll be on Twitch, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming, telling bad dating stories. Jeff Hawkins, you have a bad dating story?
Okay, my first real date, asked a girl out. Nervous, of course. Would you like to go out? And she goes, why? And I just, it's all downhill from there. But I thought it was, it's the thing you do when you're a sophomore or junior in high school is you date. Okay, let's go out, whatever. And of course, it's a bad sign when they go, hey, can I just meet you there? So you don't even want to get in the car with me, but remember my dad being unusually proud of this moment in his eldest son's life. But he drove a Honda Civic station wagon at the time, I recall this. And he went to work that day, and it happened to be a potluck day. And he had a crock pot full of chili on the front seat. And it spilled on the way there. So on the night of my very first date, the afternoon, I am spending cleaning this car in case, because the whole can I meet you there came last minute, which was a womp womp moment for me. But I'm just trying to get the chili smell out, the number of air fresheners in there was just amazing. I think I had a dispensary in that car for some reason, and it was just awkward. And I made that classic rookie mistake of going to a movie first date, or you just sit in the dark for 2 hours, you don't talk to the person at all, you don't get to meet them at all. It was just awkward, and then some dude stole her. So
wow.
Yeah, so
you're smelling like chili.
Hey, are you going out with Amanda? Yeah, not anymore, you're not. Really? Well, alright, fine, I guess not.
Wow, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Dude, it was 30 years ago. I'm over it. Kind of. Still a little angry at the dude.
George Barfield says paying in US dollars, which is greater than Canadian, to say I like them. So there you go. You like
some
jokes.
Good old American ducats, which may not be worth much soon. Thanks.
Guys, if you have bad dating stories, join us on Twitch in less than 30 minutes. Myron Kidd says
penthouse forum. It's gonna be a penthouse forum where people are making up stuff.
That's fine. Look, we don't care if it's real or not. We're not gonna check this stuff out.
People working the bad first date story and the can you top this?
That's fine. Whatever gives us some good material. We don't care if it's real.
Okay, fine. I'll take that. Go for it.
Yeah, movie first date. That one's tough. You don't learn anything. Movie first date. You just sit there. You watch the movie. And
that was nice. It's like,
yeah,
and the parents are all like, "How was it?" It's like, I don't know. Went and watched a movie. Got cock blocked. How are you doing?
Oh my god!
The friend date is the worst, where you have like the group date, so you'd be comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
And then eventually everybody, everybody kind of, oh man, hey, it's Jeff's date. Let's give him some alone time. And then that third guy goes, "No, I'm staying here to watch this movie." Like, fuck you doing, dude.
Oh man, join us on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Jeff, let the people know where they can find you at.
Well, if you like my Twitter jokes, no Canadians allowed anymore except maybe Joel. You can follow me at
no Game Joel's 13. The first one banned.
Love him. You can follow me at Crap Game 13. My show is Shake Them Ropes, all one word, at Shake Them Ropes, part of the Voices of Wrestling Network. where I will recycle at least half of this material for that, because I'm about to tape it right after this show, and it'll be fresh in my mind. But, yeah, come give us a listen, and then occasionally I pop in here when Sean Ross Sapp wants to go smack around second graders with wrestling dolls and, you know, pretend like he's a journalist. You know, he's just making all that stuff up.
You know, no. I don't even think he pretends that he's a journalist. I think he just says, like, I'm just a troll.
He has a hat with press on it, you know, like an old-timey movie, and he's like, I'm a journalist now. It's like, all right, no. No, but I am a Fightful Select member. If you are not, join up. It's worth it.
There you go. Sign up to Fightful Select. You guys know where to find me. I'm in the gym every day getting shots up. Again, we're on Twitch, twitch.tv.
Write them headlines, baby.
Writing all of these headlines. I'm sick of writing. That's why I'm going to tell bad dating stories for 2 hours tonight. Guys, we appreciate it. Jeff, thank you. Thanks for the super chats, everybody. Thanks for the support. We'll be back on... We have a UFC watch along tomorrow that you guys can check out. We'll be back on Sunday after Impact Rebellion. That's Sean, Denise, Steven Jensen on that. We will have a Impact watch along on Twitch as well. We're also doing Impact Lockdown or TNA Lockdown 2008 watch along on Twitch tomorrow. A lot of material stuff. You know, a lot of stuff going on, guys. A lot of stuff. Appreciate you guys. We'll talk to y'all after.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.